Hello, welcome to a new episode of Rants with Danny Shi. Today is May 27th. I feel very bad because I've been promising myself, and at the very least myself, that I'll be doing more episodes during the summer, and I haven't. It's already at the end of the month, and I've only done one little quick update episode in the month of May, and I've been very disappointed with myself. I will do my best to get much better at updating this podcast. There is so much that had happened. Even since the Lin Weizhu firing, there is so much that had happened. And I also, again, promised that I will talk about what Taiwanese baseball can learn from World Baseball Classic, which is an important conversation that I think needs to be talked about among important people, and not just in the news cycle, in the immediate news cycle after a big tournament like the World Baseball Classic. But that being said, I did not intend to keep that or procrastinate on that and try to spin it saying, hey, you know, I'm doing this 2 months afterwards just so that, you know, I'm keep making sure that people are still engaged with this topic. I was going to do this sooner. Life has caught on. Different stuff have happened. But there's one topic, you know, I can give CBBL updates. The Monkeys are throwing away their first half lead as usual. The Brothers are still, they're crawling back with their new coaching staff. The Guardians are the Guardians, which I will get into at later. The Weijin Dragons are very impressively staying, and out of all the teams, they are the most consistent. They're the most consistently 50-50. Now, obviously, for the Dragons, this year is the year that they want to go for the championship, and, you know, staying 500 isn't the most desired outcome. But what this is going to do is, number one, they're going to be very much in the contention for the playoffs, because, again, three teams make the playoffs. And number two, they're going to keep themselves in a position where if somebody on top of them takes a dip and they're on a hot streak, they can jump into the half season championship contention really quickly. They're not going to be like the Guardians when you're a 5.5, 6 games, 7 games back, and you have to not only you have to make sure that you get on a hot streak, you need to pray for some sort of a miracle. The Dragons being basically 50-50 throughout the season is going to put themselves in a position where literally after a 1 week stretch, they can be either first or a game or half a game away from being first. And in a relatively short regular season. Again, it's 120 games, but we're cutting that into 260-game seasons in a relatively short schedule, in a relatively short season. That is very valuable. And upon the fact that the Dragons, again, this is an expansion team. And if you tell any owner that in year two of your team, you're going to make the playoffs, in year three, you're going to be in playoff contention, you're going to hold on to that third place spot, and you're going to be in contention for the half-season championship consistently. Probably not the favorites by any stretch of the imagination, but you're going to be at a striking distance every given week or every given game to the half-season championship spots. I'm taking that. You know, I'm taking that. TSG House is going to come in 2024. And if they do what their Dragons are doing right now in 2026, 2027, that's a win for them. That's a win for anybody. And by the way, don't expect the same. Again, don't expect the same stuff from the Hawks, because the Dragons took a lot of the top amateur talent back in 2019. Hawks joining in 2022. The amateur, you know, the amateur baseball, the talent, the Taiwanese talent pool doesn't have enough to replenish those top amateur players within a 3-year span. So the Hawks have a much tougher road, and inevitably people are going to compare the Dragons to the Hawks. That is not a fair comparison. And we should not be expecting any expansion team to be as good as the Dragons is. Dragons are consistently competitive at a short amount of time. But that's the Dragons. I just want to comment on that. But the real big topic I really want to talk about is the Mike Lowry's retirement. I'm going to start by saying this. I'm dead wrong. I spent a large amount of time last season talking about Mike Lowry retiring was all just smoke and mirrors. He's gonna pitch for another team this season. He's gonna use that domestic status. Somebody's gonna give him a lot of money. He's still gonna be dominant. I am wrong on that prediction. Now, theoretically, technically, I'm right because he did pitch in an at-bat. But you know, in all seriousness, in every way, if you want to do this more seriously, it was wrong, and I admit that. You know, in the history of, Colin Cowherd does a segment, Colin is right, Colin is wrong. If I did that segment, and you know, Mike Lowry, I will wave the white flag right now. I reserve the right to take down my white flag if he does sign with somebody else. But you know, he's moved on to his new title as the overseas scout for the Fubon Guardians. If he was in part of the acquisition of players like Matthew Kent and other foreign players this year, gotta say, I mean, the Guardians, Matthew Kent has been a really good addition for them. And out of all the things that the Guardians, you can bash on the Guardians for, pitching, especially foreign pitching, it's not one of the reasons. They're second place in team ERA, okay? It's the hitting that's taking a toll. So the foreign staff for the Guardians have done a pretty good job anchoring that rotation, and I think that also helps giving confidence to the pitching staff. So if Mike Lowry was part of signing a guy like Matthew Kent and just being providing that stabilizing anchor within that rotation, dude, he's doing a great job, and they're hoping he can be like the Nick Addington of the brothers, who found guys like Jose DePaula, found guys like Arturo Reyes. I still loved him when he was in Taiwan 2020, you know, but you know, Addington was part of the staff that found Francisco Peña, who was just tremendous addition to this team, especially when you look at the 2020. Out of all of the foreign position players, yes, Francisco Peña probably didn't have the hitting that you would have wanted out of a position player, but you know, everything else, the defense, the commanding ability as a catcher, and that comes with the guy's personality. He has a tremendous personality that allows him to, you know, have the patience to stay within the Taiwanese baseball culture, understand the pitchers, understand the team, and then being able to adapt using his expertise to translate that onto the field. It took him a half a season, which I think for a catcher, and you're trying to show your value defensively, that's the minimum you need in a brand new baseball culture to do something like that. That's the minimum. It took him half a season. He took that half a season. He turned it around. And that, you can't get any of that, you know, the it factor or that, you know, the psychological factor or that personality factor from data. That's where you try to leverage your connection. That's when you have the sort of value that somebody like Nick Addington or Mike Lowry brings in. And so Fubon Guardians now have one of their own in Mike Lowry that understands and still have a lot of tremendous connections on this side of the baseball world, that they can find you players that doesn't probably have the highest WAR, the highest velocity, but will have enough, or have the patience, or have the personality to exceed in a baseball league abroad. And they, like, players like Addington, Mike Lowry, they pitched in this league. They had success in this league. Lowry, obviously, I don't need to talk more about that. Addington threw no hitters in the CBPL. They know what kind of stuff works, that one kind of stuff doesn't. Again, those are much more valuable than seeing a spreadsheet data and saying this guy is basically quad A pitcher. This organization is not going to give him the opportunity. Let's grab him from the indie ball league or this triple A team and let's bring him over. That works a percentage of the time. But we've been seeing that, you know, in 2020, 2021, 2022, and even way before that, that doesn't work all the time. And it could, for a league that relies really heavily on foreign pitching, that could really screw your team in a 3-month period, 4-month period that's crucial to go for the half-season championship. Lowry turns that around for the Guardians and will bring a lot of value in building a roster, a good pitching staff for the Guardians. That being said, I spent a whole episode last year talking about Michael Lowry's achievements in the CBBL, and most if not all of the listeners to this podcast understands CBBL, understands the importance of Mike Lowry to the CBBL. Being the first ever foreign player to gain domestic player status, again, all of this stuff, right? We understand that he is one of the legends. If anything, I would not even oppose if one day he goes into Taiwanese Baseball Hall of Fame. Being the first ever player to ever get that title, domestic player status, he's definitely among the all-time great foreign players. You can make a very strong argument, and I would agree with you, he's the best foreign player in the CPBL history. And he's going to be up there among the greatest of the CPBL overall. Peng Zhenming, Chen Jingfeng, name it. Miguel Ake, Lin Zhisheng, name it. He's going to be part of it. Being in Taiwan for 9 years and being so dominant all 9 years. Let's put that away, okay? I understand how important he is to the CPBL. I hated that retirement ceremony. Not the one last year, this one. I hated the whole give you one at bat just to say that you have it. That is, I cannot believe the Guardians let that happen. And they're the only one that could have let that happen. I cannot believe the Guardians made that happen. If you as a Guardians organization really, really wanted Lowry to be that first foreign pitcher to throw a pitch as a domestic player, if you really want this to happen, you know what would be the best way to do it? You know how I would do that? Go to the GM meeting or owners meeting. The GMs do a weekly meeting at the CPBL every week, every Monday. That was the thing back in 2020. I'm pretty sure they still do it now. Maybe bi-weekly, I don't know. Go to the bi-weekly meeting. Tell the commissioner, hey, we really think Lowry deserves a bigger farewell. We threw a huge retirement party last year, and that was great, and we loved that. But I think it will be beneficial to the league if we, as a entire league, honor him. We see this all the time in other leagues, right? Like when you're retiring a famous or a very important player, you throw all kinds of ceremonies. We think that. Since Lowry is now a domestic pitcher, unfortunately he won't be pitching as a domestic pitcher, but we still think that we need to give him, we should let him pitch in the All-Star game. Let's give him one at-bat in the All-Star. Let's have him start one of the two All-Star games this year. If we, out of the formalities, if we have to register him as a Guardians pitcher for the All-Star game, we will do it. If we have to pay him to fly from the U.S. to Taiwan, all the stuff, we as a football organization, we can pay for that. We will pay for all of that, but let's honor him during the All-Star game. Let's have him throw one at bat, maybe one inning. And in the books, he will be, you know, a domestic pitcher, a domestic status, but foreign-born domestic pitcher for the first time in the history of the CBBL. And what that does, and you know, normally when you're there and you're pitching this thing, I don't believe any GMs at that point, and even the commissioner will be opposed to that. But if somebody else wants more convincing, you can go, you know, like, you know, having this as a record, or, you know, like, you're trying to, if you're we're all trying to attract better talent from abroad as foreign pitchers, or foreign players, and we want to let them know that, you know, this Lowry clause is plausible. So, you know, let's have him throw a pitch. But let's throw him in exhibition, right? All-Star game at the end of the day is still exhibition. That's the sort of things that you do. That's the All-Star game is for. An exhibition game is for. And it's a huge thing, right? That's where all of the fans from all of the teams, you know, kind of meet in Taichung. All of the teams, you know, all the players gets the best of the best gets honored. There isn't a bigger stage than the All-Star game that will be and more appropriate to give somebody like my, if, you know, if you're so into, we want him to pitch, throw a real pitch as a domestic pitcher, I would let him throw the All-Star game, because that is still a pitch being recorded according by Chinese Professional Baseball League. It will go into the record books, and it's an exhibition. That's how, you know, Shohei Ohtani, like back in what, 2021, in the All-Star game, you know, that was when they kind of tested the all two-way player thing, right? Because now Ohtani can start and DH at the same time, whereas they couldn't do that back in 2021. And they gave Ohtani a exception for the All-Star. It's an exhibition game. They gave him an exception. He was going to throw one inning and still DH for the AL. That's what the All-Star game is for. You know, that's what the All-Star game is for. You don't let somebody that you retired, you threw a whole fizz about it, and you threw a whole thing about it last year, and this year, just for the record books, you're gonna let somebody throw in a real game that you are competing in as a franchise to win. And again, I have no problem with honoring him. But you don't use a real competitive game, a real competitive at bat for this. Fans seem to like it. CBL fans liked it a lot. Guardians fans definitely loved it. I mean, they bought so much Mike Lowry merch. And I have nothing against the fans who liked it. My problem is with the franchise. My problem is with the organization. Because the CPBL right now, and that was why game fixing was such a huge blow to the CPBL. It legitimized the CPBL as a baseball competition, the core of any sports leagues. Sports is an entertainment, much like drama, much like TV, much like a movie, much like anything else. Sports, at the end of the day, is an entertainment, right? But the core of what makes sports different from other entertainment options is the competitiveness. It's the competition aspect. You are watching human beings try their best to outperform, outbest another human being playing the same game as you are. That is what competition, that is what sports competition at its core is about. If you take away that core, the competitive aspect of it, and you're only looking at the physical attributes, the physical entertainment side, then this league is no different from the WWE. The WWE, it's different. Like, when people see the WWE, yes, WWE compared to TV drama, compared to movies, are closer to a sporting event, but they are not a sporting event because everything is scripted. You know, like, the wrestlers, they are performers. They're, like, they're athletes, but they are not... They're athletes in terms of they're putting their bodies on the line to entertain a script, to entertain the audience with content that's being scripted. There was a clear winner and loser at the end of the match, right? Live sports, every other sports, soccer, football, hockey, baseball, whatever, the core of attraction for sports is nobody in the world knows the outcome. You can tell me through statistics 70% of the chance this team's going to win, teammate's going to win, but that is not a definite. Nobody knows until the end of the day, until the end of the game, who is going to win. And a key part of that is both teams trying to, both or three teams or athletes trying to outperform, outbest another at the same game that they're playing, right? So the competitiveness, the competition is at the core of each, every sports game, right? Every sports league, everything that's related to competitive sports, the competition is at the core of it. The CPBL got, you know, the game fixing got really, really took a hit on the CPBL because you as a baseball fans at the time, as a consumer, when they're watching the CPBL, they thought they were watching two teams trying to outbest each other and win a game. And then they come to realize the players are actually trying to outlose each game. That is a drastic difference in the legitimacy of the competition. That's what illegitimized the competition. When you don't think the players or the organizations involved are in it to win some, to win the championship, or win, to win the game, right? To win the prize. That's what makes sports great. And again, game-fixing scandal was a problem because people realized the players don't care about winning, so why do we as fans care about winning? Care about rooting for my team to win if the players don't care about it, if the league don't care about it. And to a certain extent, in 2008, it was an entire team, an entire organization that was being built to lose games on purpose. Read the Wikipedia pages online if you don't know what I'm referring to. Now, I'm not accusing Guardians of doing that, but the series of game-fixing scandals in the CPBL, and let's just be very honest with ourselves for a second. The level of competition in the CPBL is below the competition of, I'm not gonna argue minor league baseball. It's below Major League Baseball for a fact. That's a fact. It's below Japanese baseball, like the first, like Nippon MPB. That's a fact. Okay, like I love the CPBL. I love this. Every one of you knows how much I love the CPBL. But let's be really honest here. Five team league, 120 games. This is not the same baseball, competitive baseball product as Major League Baseball or Japanese baseball. It's not the same. Level of competition wise, you're talking about the talent. Why are better players, Taiwanese players, the best amateur, you know, student, like high school players going abroad? There's a reason why, okay? So let's be honest with ourselves. CPBL has an uphill battle to convince people to watch, for one, the legitimacy of the competition, and two, and this is a much deeply rooted problem, the level of competition. Now, it's much harder to fix the level of competition side of things, but I could sit here and argue that a team, a league like the CPBL can survive if the level of competition is not, even if they're not on par with Japanese baseball or Major League Baseball. There are a lot of case studies out there with healthy leagues that have a inferior level of competition versus the best of the best in the world. So I'm not sitting here and saying the CPBL has to be at the level of competition as the Major League Baseball. But the difference of level of competition is a key reason the CPBL don't have 100% of the baseball fan market in Taiwan. There are a lot of Taiwanese baseball fans that only watch Major League Baseball and MPB, and they will look at the CPBL with their nose up. That's one. Two, the illegitimacy of the competition, like I said earlier, the game-fixing scandal has been... That's something that CPBL will take so long, so far. It will take forever for them to try to dust that off. But my point is this. The last few years, the CPBL has done pretty good at putting themselves in front of the eyeballs of baseball casuals. You know, and people that probably was watching the CPBL back in its heyday, but stopped watching because of game physics scandals. And they probably won't come back, but they're now aware, hey, the CPBL is back and is back into a healthy stage, it's a healthy league, and we have the best of the best of Taiwanese baseball talent going at it. The Guardians giving a retired player, a pitcher, to throw in a competitive at-bat gives more reason for people to see the CPBL as a joke. It gives reasons for people to illegitimize the CPBL, or actually it's mostly just illegitimized, but you can also look at it and saying, part of that's part of the level of competition, right? Like you're letting a retired pitcher throwing 138, like 85 miles per hour splitters to dominate you. Like, come on, you know? So my point is, letting a retired pitcher throw a competitive game, throw in a competitive game where the championship is at stake, illegitimized your competition, or gives, at least at the very least, it gives reason for people to illegitimize your competition. I'm gonna circle back to this. Fans, Fubon Guardians fans liked it. They bought a lot of merch. I don't blame the Guardians fans. Who I really blame is the organization, because they are one of the 6 member organizations in the world that should be trying everything they can. I'm talking about everything they can legally, you know, to number one, optimally to legitimize their competition, or at the very bare minimum, to not give reasons for people to illegitimize your league. They are one of the 6 stakeholders that have the bare minimum. What's the word I'm looking for? They should be one of the 6 stakeholders that try everything they can to not let people illegitimize the CPBL. And yet, just so that you can sell a few t-shirts, maybe some books, that you're gonna give reasons for somebody to joke about your league. The Guardians are treating this letting a retired pitcher go out there and throw, after throwing a whole fizz about him retiring. By the way, they still let Lori pitch after the ceremony, which I gave him a pass because whatever, you know, like maybe you did need an extra pitcher and he's still in Taiwan, whatever. But after all of that, you ask somebody to come back a season after and throw in a real game? The very game that you as a CPPL organization should, out of everyone on this planet, should treat the most serious. Because the Guardians, again, you have nothing to gain for treating the CPPL like a gimmick. Zero. You can let Lowry throw an all-star game, and you can still sell the merch. You can still sell your biography. There are ways around this. The cost and benefit of treating the CPPL like a gimmick is something that a CPPL organization should not be able to entertain to begin with. I don't understand. I don't know if I'm making sense, but you are one of the six teams in this league. A league that's been constantly questioned of its legitimacy and level of competition. And you participate in this league for nothing but trying to win. Like, they have the baseball team, the Fubon Guardians professional baseball team has nothing to gain. They have no objective but to win a championship in this Chinese Professional Baseball League. They're not making money, and I've said this many times, none of the organizations are making money. It's a PR, you can say it's a PR stunt, but there are different ways of making PR sponsorships. And the fact that they're sponsoring a baseball team, they are sponsoring the idea of competition, sports competition in Taiwan, and that is the core of sports leagues, as I mentioned earlier. And yet what they have done is tear that apart by treating this Chinese Professional Baseball League game as if it's just an exhibition, as if it's a joke, as if it's a gimmick, just to sell more merch. And not only that, but there are other alternatives that you can probably, that you could have taken to avoid doing this. This is not your last resort. This was not your last resort. This was not the only option that you had to honor Mike Lowry. Now, again, you could have let him throw in the All-Star game. You could have let, like, I heard this idea earlier. You could have let him warmed up and then take him out or throw, you know, like, and take him out, and that would be part of the record books. If you really want him to be part of the record books, there are other ways than throwing one a real at-bat in an actual competitive baseball game that you actively should be trying to promote as a competition, but instead you're promoting it as if it's a gimmick because you don't treat this competition seriously enough so that you let this retired pitcher throw an at-bat in this game. I can't, man. Like, again, I am not blaming the fans or the supporters for buying the merch. The problem I had is with the organization. It's with the organization. There's no way I'm pretty sure the baseball ops people at the Guardians organization was not happy. They're definitely happy for Lowry, and they're not gonna say no to it, right? Like, they're not gonna say, like, well, let's not do it. But they weren't, like, again, like, what if Lowry, let's just say this, what if Lowry had injured somebody because he threw it, you know, he lost his command and threw it at the wrist of a player, you know, like, And you can make the argument like, hey, that didn't happen, you know, like he did get out, but that is not something that if you're that is not something that, that that's, you know, using the result is not how you it's not how you evaluate that decision. The fact that Lori gotten out doesn't make that decision to let Mike to let a retired player throw a pitch any more appropriate. What if he gave up a home run and the Dragons win 1-0? And what if at the end of the season the Guardians are out of the playoffs by one game? Are you as a Guardians, you know, are you as a Guardians fan really gonna say, oh, but we let Lori pitch one at bat, so that's gonna be fine? Again, these did not happen. These things did not happen. Okay, but what if Lori, let's just say that, you know, Lori started the game, Matthew Kent came in, you know, with top of the first inning, one out game, right? And you know, he pitched really well, but, you know, went all the way to the seventh inning, and he still gave up that run. You know, the Guardians did lose 1-0, by the way. He gave up a run in the top of the seventh inning. You know, what if, in a butterfly effect, Kent threw the first inning, the entire first inning, and he would have not pitched the seventh because he would pitch six full, and just for optics or whatever, they didn't let he would have pitched six, which is a quality outing, and so the coaching staff pulled him off, brought somebody else in, they didn't give up a run, the Guardians walk it off in the 10th inning. What, you know, like, again, these are the kind of things that you can just argue, no, but it didn't happen. You know, like, the Kent still threw seven innings. Oh, you can't say that. Like, that didn't happen. But you're opening yourself to the opportunity of the possibility of that happening. And again, I just keep coming back to the thought of, if the Guardians treated the CPPL any seriously, they wouldn't have let this happen. They just wouldn't have. And you can't imagine. You can't imagine any legitimate actual sports league doing such a thing. Again, it's one of those things where what if at the end of the year, you know, like, the football organization told this coaching staff, you need to give us a team that's better than 500 or else you're going to be fired. And at the end of the year, the Guardians are one game below 500 and they fired the coaching staff. And you look back on this game, it's a 1-0 game. Maybe if Lori didn't pitch, maybe they don't give up a run. Like, you just don't know. But the fact that we're now having these conversations, you know, these are people's jobs on the line. These are livelihoods on the line. At the end of the day, yes, all the CPPL is losing money, but there's one group of people that is benefiting quite well financially from this league, and that is the players and the coaching staff. And you're putting their lives, their livelihoods on the line just so that you can honor Mike Lori for one at bat. I don't know. I do overreact quite a bit. I'm overly emotional a couple times, but man, like, I worked for CPPL Twitter, and one of the hardest things that I had to do, because I'm one of those people where I can think of a marketing strategy. But basically, marketing is trying to persuade people to purchase your product. So you're trying to make arguments for people to come buy your product. And I'm one of those people where when you try to make an argument, or when I think of an argument, I try to be the devil's advocate to myself and try to think of arguments against myself. So when I was And look, I thought that was a pretty good way of thinking about how people who didn't like the CPPL would think about the messaging. And at the end of the day, when you're the CPPL, you're pretty much any company, any marketing department of any company basically is trying to expand your market. You're trying to make people who don't know about your product or don't like your product to like your product, to make the decision or to drag them closer to purchasing your product. So a large part of it, obviously you're trying to solidify people who already buy your product, CPPL fans, but you're also trying to get non-CPPL fans to watch your league. Because right now, the amount of fans in Taiwan that watches the CPPL on a regular basis is not enough to maintain this league as a healthy, profitable league. And so, again, you're now... As an entire league, you're looking at how to expand the pie. That is what the commissioner is saying, right? Expanding the pie. Expanding the pie means attracting people who don't like your league or don't know about your league and make them to like your league. And one easy argument they can make, the two easiest arguments people can make against watching the CPPL, one is the legitimacy of the competition and two, the level of competition. And, when I was doing Twitter, one of the bigger things that I had to tackle was addressing the level of competition part, because overseas fans, most of the time they're comparing CPPL to other overseas leagues, and the level of competition will become a huge part of it. So that was the main hurdle I had to tackle. But overall, you know, when you're addressing a domestic market in Taiwan, the legitimacy of their competition, and thankfully I didn't have to worry too much about that because I was looking at overseas fans who know a little bit less about the league history. But again, the legitimacy of the competition is still a huge part about my job, a huge hurdle that I had to tackle, or I had to at least think about tackling. And even I would give you guys, I'll tell you guys stories, man. I'm not going to actually give you guys stories, but even, I can tell you this, even people within the league, sometimes, it's jokingly, okay? But people would still jokingly talk about the days of game fixing, and, you know, it's a joke, but you can tell, it's one of those self-deprecating jokes where you're trying to hide your sadness, hide your anger, whatever, you're trying to joke it off. A lot of those are happening still among people who works in the league, and I'm pretty sure a lot of those jokes are still happening in team offices. A lot of baseball people in Taiwan are people who either grew up in those scandals and still had the passion for baseball and stuck with baseball and still being part of the industry and trying to resurrect the CPPL back to what it was, or people who, you know, again, work during the times of game of being of those scandals, again, trying to resurrect, having that passion for baseball and trying to resurrect their way back. I can't tell you, I don't think I can make justice of how hard I worked and how hard, most importantly, how hard people that I know in the league worked, how hard they worked to reverse the perception of illegitimate competition in the CPPL. And again, that comes with time. That comes with, you know, you just have to let the wound heal, right? And that is why I'm so disappointed by the Guardians. Because we're all trying to treat this like a real... We're trying to convince people this is a competition. A real baseball competition. And yes, letting Mike Lowry throw an at-bat is much less punitive Much less, not even close. It's not the same level as game fixing, right? But you didn't have to do it. And that gives such an easy reason for people to illegitimize you as a competition. When the illegitimacy of your competition is one of the main factors that keep people away from the league. I can't imagine Major League Baseball doing that. A real game? A real at-bat? A real at-bat? Ken Griffey Jr. comes back to the Mariners and get one at-bat in Major League? There's no way that will happen because it's a competition. It's not even part of the culture. You can't, like, if you have a strong, healthy, competitive culture, that doesn't happen. And out of everybody in Taiwan, and understand, obviously the competition culture in Taiwan isn't strong enough, but out of everybody in Taiwan that should be growing, defending, and striving for competitive cultures would be a franchise that's competing, that's whole purpose is to compete for a championship, and they're throwing that away, letting a retired pitcher throw an at-bat. Let me just reiterate, not against Mike Lowry. I love what he did for the CBBL, and he deserves everything he deserves in the CBBL. But I don't think he deserved to throw a competitive at-bat as a retired pitcher. This is not an exhibition. Again, like, there are so many avenues for them to honor him. The All-Star Game is literally in 2 months. Like, it's literally happening. Like, I don't understand, man. You could have done it for spring training. There are ways to do it. There are ways. This is the worst way. This is the way that hurts the league the most, in my opinion. Out of all of the reasons, this is the one that hurts it the most. Yes, they got the money from the merchandise. Congratulations. Hurts the long-term development, for sure. Dude. Anybody can treat this. Everybody on this planet can and have the right to treat the CPPL as a joke. Besides, everybody does, besides the Guardians, the Brothers, the Hawks, the Dragons, the Monkeys, the Lions. Because they're actually competing in it. I can't. I am not... I could be overreacting. And this is going to go away. Like, it's going to go away after a news cycle. But the amount of people, I'm talking about players, coaches, front office, league officials, that tried their hardest to reconvince people of the legitimacy of CPPL as a competition, as a competitive sports league. And then the enemy comes from the within. You know, anybody can, again, I'm an avid CPPL fan, and anybody can come here and tell me, you know, I'm already imagining myself giving this rant, the same rant to my mom on the phone in a couple of days or probably tomorrow. And she's going to be like, oh, it's just a game, man. Like, it's just a CPPL. You know, it's just one at bat. It's not big of a deal. Everybody can make an argument. But the actual teams that's actually competing, if the teams don't treat this competition seriously, then who else would? You know, back in middle school, it was like the four core or whatever it was, the core values was, you know, step one is to respect yourself, step two is to respect others, step three is to respect the environment. I forget what the fourth one was, but it was always the top three that they focused on. And it was like, you have to focus on respecting yourself, because if you don't respect yourself, you're not going to respect other people, and other people are not going to respect you. The Guardians basically disrespecting its own competition. How do you expect other people to respect you as a competition? I'm not talking about Guardians as this doesn't hurt the Guardians. It hurts the whole league, because there's only six teams. Even tanking is tanking is bad, but at the end of the day, when the teams in the US tank, they, first of all, the players who are on the court doesn't intentionally play bad. Okay, so let's take that out of the way. Tanking is not on the players. It's not on the coaches. It's the front office intentionally putting out a bad roster or bad lineup in order to lose games in exchange for future wins. The Guardians is losing, well, not losing, they're only through one at bat, but they are putting in one at bat at the risk of losing by letting a retired pitcher throw in exchange for merch sales. I think that's for merch sales. What the other benefits? Really safe, you know, safe face to make sure that Mike Lowry doesn't actually pitch another game in the future. So, I don't know. I'm very disappointed. It's a very long rant, but hey, the Dragons got to win though still. So, and the Monkeys, can you like get yourself together and play more than like 30 games? Actually, more than 25 games. The Monkeys was primed. This is actually exactly like 2020. The Monkeys was primed to be the first team that wins 20 games in a season, in a half season. The team that wins the team that's first to get to 20 wins each half season has like a 78% chance of winning the half season championship. The Monkeys was at 19, and then they lost 6 in a row, and now the Lions has 21 wins. They got to the 20 win mark before the Monkeys, and now the Monkeys are facing an uphill battle. Monkeys, please, just like next. This is becoming a pattern. 2020, 2021, 2022, 2023. Just becoming a pattern. It's not good, man. It's not good. And I don't know what the fix is, because it's a cultural thing. At this point, it's a cultural thing. And changing the head coach, I feel like changing the manager at this point doesn't fix it. It's a deep-rooted problem. 4 years? 4 consecutive years you start hot, and now you're like... And naive, it's like... Not only you start hot, but like you don't start hot enough for long enough where you give yourself enough lead to blow it at the end, to not blow it. You know, it's like they're hot for 15, 20 games. They're only 15, 20 games. Like how much of a lead can you get from like 3, maybe 4, 4.5? And then like 10 games after you blew all that away. Now you're a game and a half behind. As a Monkeys fan, I'm very disappointed. Very disappointed. 5-game losing streak. Not 6, 5. Anyway, that's the end of this episode. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much. This is a real rant, guys. Like, this is, out of all the episodes, this is a real rant that really hurt me. This really did. For illegitimate reasons, up to you, but I'm hurt. I'm not happy about this. All right, thank you also so much for listening, and we'll see you guys next time.